this morning. Always wonderful to be able to come together to study God's Word as we have the opportunity to do so. Just so everybody knows that I did not come up with the lesson on my own. I have here the cloth sermon. Old cloth sermon. I know I've used one or two in the past. I have a couple small boxes full of them that I had received from Casey's grandma. Grandpa was a preacher. I believe a lot of the cloth sermons came from another preacher, but occasionally I dig into them and look at them and find a good lesson. But since I don't have an order, I got to choose my own order to go through this lesson. But it is going to be on the projector also. It is just simply, I took a picture of it and then I covered it up, and hopefully it all works and reveals as I go through it. But if you want to open up your Bibles with me, open up your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews chapter 11, it goes through and talks about faith. We brought this out during our Bible class recently. And to point out all these men and women of faith as it goes through and lists and talks about why they had faith and how they acted upon their faith, faith with works, and we're talking about Abraham and Moses and Isaac and Jacob, and we go through all these men of faith and women, and it goes forth and it just gives us so many good examples. So many good examples of how to have faith, how to use that faith, how to work and overcome temptation. And I believe that's what this lesson is focused on as I go through the passages that are listed here, that it makes the mention. And it'll be our last point as we get to this part here. It says, I'll come out as a witness against you in the last day if you fail to obey God. That as we go through these examples and look, and I know not all these are listed through Hebrews 11, but they're all examples for us, even in the New Testament, examples of men and how they had temptation at their door, but they didn't allow these temptations to overtake them. Because we might use these temptations that it's got listed up here and look at them and say, well, there's a pretty good excuse on why I gave into sin, why I refused to obey the gospel. And yet we can see here that others have overcome the temptation, and if others have overcame it, then we can overcome it also. We can overcome these temptations. And so it is a great cloud of witness. If you look at Hebrews 12 and verse 1, it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so as we look to this, it brings out that these are witnesses against us, for us. They're there to hold us accountable. So let us look to it. So the first point I want to bring out in this lesson is early Christians, and bring out the point of that some say they can't understand the Word of God. It's what we kind of talked about in this morning. We got into studying about knowledge. Studying about our belief and understanding and the knowledge that we have. Well, if you open up your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. As it brings out here. Acts 17 and verse 30. Here it tells us, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Again, yeah, there was a time of ignorance, a time in which they continued to get away with certain things. And even then, we know from studying the Word of God that God didn't overlook everything, right? God didn't just allow Nadab and Abihu to offer up a strange fire that he had not commanded. God did not allow the children of Israel to go against his word and just enter into the land without any punishment or consequences. God continuously held them accountable. God held David accountable as he got caught up in lust and adultery and murder. And God held them accountable even during a time of ignorance. And he's going to hold us accountable also. That's why we must continue to study as we get to this point again in our class in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 15. As it reads here, it says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And so we must be diligent in order to worship God. The last part of the lesson that we're studying on knowledge goes through and tells us that we have to be diligent to find that knowledge, diligently seek it, diligently grasp it, diligently hold on to it. And so we have to be willing to work for it. We have to be willing to strive and grab hold of it. As many want to get caught up and say, well, it's just too hard. It's not too hard because God has given it to you so that you would understand. If you turn along with me to Romans. In Romans, and I don't want to say 15, but I believe I'm looking forward to verse 15, not chapter 15. Give me a second here. Romans, I'm not going to think of it. But anyways, and I'll find it for you later if you have a question. But as it brings out in Romans, it tells us all things were written for our understanding. As we open up the Word of God and we study the Old Testament, it is there for our understanding. Much like what John had wrote in John chapter 20. John 20 verse 30 says, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in him." And so here bringing out that this is written for us so that we will believe. Again, we look at the end of the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter 3. We are commanded. Understand, it is a command as you read into this. 2 Peter 3, and you read verse 17, it says, "Therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow." That's a command. He's not saying if you feel like it, if you have time to study the Word of God, if you think you can understand the Word of God. It says grow, but grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So we can't put the blame on, I can't understand the Word of God. Because then God would be wrong to command us to grow and to understand, to know. That's where our faith is to come by. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God as we look into Romans 10, verse 17. So the next point I want to bring out about a cloud of witness that people might bring out, well, yeah, I understand, but I have this pressure on me from friends and relatives. Those who I get along with, those who are always surrounded by over here, talking about our friends and relatives. Look to Job. Look at Job and how he stands firm and continues to obey God in the hardest of times, even when he has family and friends telling him to do otherwise. Job chapter 2. Job 2 in verse 9 says, "Then his wife said to him, 'Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die.' But he said to her, 'You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity?' And all this Job did not sin with his lips." And so, of course, if you study the rest of Job, we know that his friends also come along saying, "Well, you had to do something wrong, right? Well, I mean, why else would all your children die, all your livestock die, and all your servants, but the ones who were able to come and tell you what was going on, die?" God has something against you. You did something wrong. And so everybody was telling him. Even his wife tells him to curse God and die. And understand, this is probably one of the hardest points that we sometimes have and struggle with, is having friends and family members that are not right with God or tell us that we have to make a choice and stand for with them or stand with the church, and therefore you have to make a decision. They're often the ones that try their hardest to pull us away. But yet we see the faithfulness of Job, and of course his faithfulness being rewarded in the end. It's not an excuse. Family is not an excuse to go forward and put God behind you. We know that Jesus brought out the point that he did not come to bring us all together, but yet he said he brought to divide. Not that he wants us to be divided. He prays for our unity, he prays for our oneness, that we be like him and God, how they are one together in mindset and what we need to do and what has to be taught, what is necessary for salvation, that there is a heaven, that there is a hell. He wants us to be like that. But he knows that that's not always going to be the case. And so he says he brings us a sword. We have an armor of God. Because father's going to be against son, mother against daughter, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. Because sometimes friend and family don't accept the truth. And when you accept the truth and you continue down that right path, that straight and narrow, difficult path, and this is what makes it difficult, is because we don't always have those we want on our side. But it's not an excuse. It's not a worthy reason to miss out and to face the punishment. About being popular, having a good position, a high position in which many come to you, and you just got that point of, well, you know, I'm already in a good spot. How can I give this up? How can I give this up to serve God? How can I give this up when everybody likes me? If I change my mind, if I change the way, if I go down that path, then no one's going to want to be my friend anymore. And Genesis 41 and verse 57, Genesis 41 and in verse 57, here we read about Joseph. Of course, Joseph went through so much. You know, we can put Joseph a few places in this cloud of witnesses because he went through so much. But in this particular point, he has went from being thrown into a pit to being a slave to being in charge of a house to being in jail. And now brought before the Pharaoh and now put in charge. Since all the countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain because the famine was severe in all the lands. Being in charge, having everybody come to you. I mean, you are the man. You are the one and only person that can say how much food you get. He's in charge. He's popular. Everybody knows who Joseph is. As they come into the land, they're seeking food, they have to come to him. And he does not let it get to his head. He does not let it overtake him. Again, it wasn't a sin for Joseph to be in this position, right? It's okay to be popular. It's okay to get into a certain spot, maybe in school if you play sports or anything that sets, you know, people start to notice who you are. Oh, well, you play this and you did good. You went there. You know, you start to know. You work your way up in a job. You steadily get upgraded. You get a new position. You're in charge. You become a manager. People know who you are. It's okay to be that. But the question is how do you change as you grow? As you get into these different positions, as you get more popular over time, do you allow that to change you? Allow that to make you give in to the world because this is what the world is doing? Again, Joseph is an excellent example that he remained faithful. Even when he had the opportunity for vengeance, opportunity to get back at his brothers, and you know, as they come to him, and he just points out, God's the one that put me here. He had faith in God and all these things. But with both of those comes what we're afraid of is the persecution. Persecution that comes along with putting God first and knowing that friends and family and everybody else don't want to hear what you have to say if it's not lining up with them. You go back to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and read along with me in verse 27. Hebrews 11 and starting in verse 27, it says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkling the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch him. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. Again, here by faith, Moses and the Israelites were able to leave Egypt. Knowing the persecution, and we know as we study, it wasn't always the easiest thing to do, easiest decision to make. When Moses had learned that and come to the understanding that, well, if they know that what I did, then Pharaoh probably knows what I did.
He fled for his life, right?
But he did not just give in at the very first. You know, he didn't sit there and let the Israelites be beaten. He didn't sit there and just deny God after it happened and said, well, you know, I see the consequences. I'm not going to do that no more. I'm going to punish the children of Israel because I'm in this good position. It says he did not fear the wrath. He was willing to go in front of them all the way to the point that the Pharaoh eventually said, next time I see your face, if I see your face again, I will kill you. So often we can let persecution, again, a question we had to ask, you know, persecution today, again, it's not quite like what we see there, but it's still out there. It's still out there. We can be made fun of. Again, we know that words hurt. People will get mad. We see they get upset and things don't go their way, that they're willing to start doing some violence. Are we ready to stand our ground, to stand faithful to the Lord? And if we can overcome persecution, again, the opportunity that is there to set an example to others, not to give in when someone's making fun of you, when someone's pointing fingers at you, comes the opportunity to shine your light, to be the better person. An opportunity that can help save the person who's making fun. Example is a lady that's in my family now that I call my sister, comes to all the holidays, comes to Christmas, Thanksgiving, goes on family vacations. It all started with my dad had a secular job while he was full-time preaching. And he was working in a factory, and during his lunch breaks, he had to prepare his lessons. You know, he had to prepare a lesson, study his Bible class. And while doing that, there's a group of people, you know, making fun of him for studying his Bible, reading and doing his lesson. And when they're over here, maybe on a smoke break, doing this, doing that. And sure enough, because of the example he continued to set, when trouble came into her life, she came to him. Why? Because she saw him studying the Bible, doing things that others weren't doing. Eventually, she ended up obeying the gospel. And like I said, now she's the faith. We have the opportunity to set an example rather than give in to temptations of the world. Others will try to point out, if we're all continuing talking about other people's influence on us, we come over here and say, well, we can't see a lot. Have you ever heard someone try to say, I can't go to church, I can't be part of that congregation because they want to point fingers at other brethren? Is that not hypocrisy? Hypocrisy of sitting there saying, well, because of them, and they can't get a life, they can't get along, I'm not going to go. How can you help them get along if you're not there? If you're not trying to mend the bridges? We know that we can get along. We know that we can live a faithful life, and God, our Lord, had prayed for our faithfulness. In Acts chapter 2, as the church began, Acts chapter 2, and we know that in verse 38, Peter preaches repentance and baptism unto them. He goes forth. Many end up being baptized that day. And so we get down to verse 42. And it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of the bread and in prayers. They continued in these things. They continued steadfastly. They were strong and faithful in the teachings of the Lord, in the teachings that the disciples, the apostles, were teaching to them. They would take them and teach it to others. In 1 Thessalonians 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and you read along with me, starting in verse 6. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6, and it says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Again, here their faith has gone out to others. Set an example for everyone. To help them to be faithful. To help them to continue to fight that good fight. We know We know that it's not always easy. It's not always sunshine and rainbows. Because we can turn to 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, and read there in verse 10, and as Paul writes to them, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment," that we be perfectly joined together. But again, if we don't come together, if we don't study together, if we don't worship together, then how are we going to be perfectly joined together? So let us come together and be joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment, same teachings. As he goes further on, because is Christ divided? Did Paul die for us? Have I sacrificed my life for you? Did Apollos do it? We're all here because Jesus gave his life so that our sins could be forgiven. Let us come together on that. Take his teachings, make them our own. Following his word. Again, we're studying knowledge right now in our class. But we have to be willing to look to God's word to gain that knowledge. Have to be willing to search the truth. Another point about position and money. Again, looking at Moses here in Hebrews 11 and verse 24. Moses being a high spot. Again, he's been raised by the Pharaoh's daughter. He is with the royal family. He has to be in a high position. He's, you know, somebody. And yet he was willing to deny it. He's willing to put God first in all things. Didn't allow money to overtake him. In Acts 7 and verse 22. Acts 7 and in verse 22. As we read along here, and it says, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds." Again, he was someone raised with everybody else. He was raised by the Pharaoh's daughter. Therefore, he had the opportunity to learn probably from the greatest teachers and learn from all. It's funny as we read that, though, as he's mighty with words, and yet when he was at the burning bush, that's something he's like, "Oh, I'm not a man of words." But he's very knowledgeable. He was wise. He knew what he had coming to him if he was going to continue as an Egyptian. He could have had a good, easy life the rest of his life, though. Yet he did not let that go to his head. He continued to live faithfully to the Lord. Again, setting us an example for us today to continue faithfully. Maybe you sit there and think the commands are too hard. We go back a couple studies as we look to Abraham in our adult class and thinking about all that he had went through. Again, we pointed out, as it does here, he did not know where he was going. He had to up and leave his family. Genesis 12 and verse 1, as it says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you." You know, he didn't get to say, "All right, God," and pull it up on the map and say, "All right, so you want me to go all the way over here? I'm going to have to travel through all this. It's going to take me this much time. And let me look around," as Casey always does. "Where are we going? Do you know where we're staying yet? I got to map out my run." She gets on there and she maps out where she's going to run. Abraham didn't get a map of where he's going to stay. He's just traveling because God told him to get up and go. It's too hard, too much. It's too much work. Again, we can look to Noah. How much, Scott gave us a lesson Wednesday night on talking about Noah, how much work he had to be willing to put into that. How much work he had to continue to put day and night in building this ark. Told that he was also taking the time to preach, to warn the others. Are we willing to put that much time into our faith? To remain faithful to the Lord? And as we look at the time frame, as he was 500, I believe, when he had the children, and 600, and so we come to maybe the conclusion that he took that 100 years to build this ark. And the question, 100 years of faithfulness. 100 years of faithfulness to God. Then he had the time on the ark, time after the ark. How much time are you willing to put in? How much work are you willing to put in for God? He commanded Noah to build it. And again, it is all by faith. Because he's not seeing the waters already rising. So it's not faith by sight. It's faith on unseen things. Do we have faith? Are we willing to put in the work? In Acts chapter 8, again, if someone has an excuse to just hold off, let's wait till tomorrow. Let us wait till there's more people to come and to be around us. Look at Acts 8. They are wandering in a desert. They're wandering and traveling as they're going down. And Philip comes and approaches the eunuch out in the middle of nowhere. You know, you can say, let us wait till we get to where we're going. Wait until we have a big crowd so that there's great witnesses of what's about to take place. But instead, as we read and as they get there, Acts 8, you read verse 27, so he arose and went and hold of the Ethiopian eunuch, great authority under Candace the queen and Ethiopians who had charged of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So he didn't wait to approach him. But as you go further down, and as they come up on some water, and verse 34, so the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, whom does this prophecy say of himself or of the man? And Philip opened his mouth, beginning of the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, and some came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, again, he could have waited. Yeah, he could have said it's too much work. He could have said it's too far to go. But here, he understood. At first, he didn't, right? How can I understand what I'm reading without a teacher? So he starts preaching Jesus to him. He starts there, opening up and going through it, explaining what's taking place, explaining who Jesus is. You've heard about him, right? You've heard of the miracles, and you've heard of all that he has done, how he fed all these people, how he's cleansed the leper. Oh, I've heard those stories. Well, that's who he's talking about right here. He came to the conclusion and understood. Might even came to that point that he asked, or Philip just simply taught. And now he saves people through baptism. And so they came up to water. He didn't say, well, let's continue because I don't want to stop and delay. We've been in this hot heat for far too long already. Don't want to waste any more time. He says, here's some water. What keeps me from being baptized? What keeps me from obeying the gospel now? He takes advantage of the opportunity that is at hand. And all sums up and together as we ask, does it cost too much? Are you willing to pay the cost? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. Turn along with me there. Philippians 3 and in verse 8 it says, yet indeed I also count all things lost for excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Are you willing to lose it all to gain the Lord? Whether it's family, whether it's friends, position, popularity, whatever it may be, money. Are you willing to pay the cost? Willing to do the work? Willing to search and be diligent, seeking the truth? Willing to search for it? 2 Timothy chapter 4, turn along with me there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. As Paul makes mention here, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And people might stop there and say, what, I got to fight? I have to run? There's work that has to be done. I thought Jesus died and all was good. That's not the case. Jesus told us that foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Therefore, you have to be willing to search for the truth and be faithful to him, because people aren't going to accept you. people don't want to hear that they have to change. He says, verse 8, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So what we have here is a great cloud of witnesses. He wrote, I will come out as a witness against you in the last day if you fail to obey God. Again, not knowing exactly how that day of judgment is going to be, but are you prepared to stand on that day of judgment with whatever excuse you might have in your mind and be able to defend your faith? I mean, think about the Job. Job bringing out that point as he was standing there and talking with his friends, and they're trying to say, well, maybe he didn't. And Job's like, who could I call to stand on trial to be my warrior against God? Who could you use? No one we can use. No one wiser, no one smarter, no more. No one that's given more grace, no one more forgiving. And you're going to stand there as we have so many examples through the Word of God. Can you imagine if we stand there and these people, you start to give your excuse, and then God was able, well, I gave you an example here in the Bible. Well, let me bring him forward to you. Maybe you can explain why he could overcome it and you couldn't. The Word of God gives us a great amount of examples to help us to live that faithful life upon this earth. Again, it comes down to us being willing to search the Scriptures to find that help, because all things were written for our learning. Written so that we can teach, so that we can review, so we can encourage one another. So if you're here and you need prayer as a congregation, I don't want to leave without extending that invitation to you. If you need to come and ask for help, for a Bible study, for prayers. If you're here and you've yet to obey the gospel, and you desire to do that, we can take care of that also. If there's anything we can do, we let it be known. We stand and see.